Welcome to Expect an Expert, sponsored by Henderson Brothers. Today we're discussing builders risk coverage, what you need to know, and what lies ahead for it in the insurance market. Hello, Dan and Clem. Thank you for joining us today. Let's jump right into the basics.
Clem, could you just tell us a little bit, what does builders risk cover? What type of projects are we looking at?
So builders risk policy is a variation of a property insurance policy that's used to reflect exposures for most commonly new construction, but also we see reconstruction projects and additions, whether they're interior or exterior additions. The builder's risk policy tries to capture the exposure of ownership of property from a variety of parties, whether it's a contractor, a subcontractor, the owner of the project, when it's in storage, when it's in transit, when it's in the yard next to be attached, when it becomes attached. So the builder's policy is a property policy that tries to address that need you typically don't see in a standard property insurance policy.
Dan, can you just talk a little bit about who buys the coverage?
Sure. So a few things to think about. So, who is actually developing this building, right? Is it the project owner? It could also come through on the construction side. It could be the general contractor. So it could go on either side of the house there. And for a lot of the larger general contractors, they develop what's called a master builder's risk policy for their ongoing projects. So a lot of times we see the contractor carrying that. And ultimately, it does go back to the construction contract that the ultimate project owner and contractor decide upon. Sometimes the project owner will carry that builder's risk, depending upon the size and scope of the project. Sometimes it will fall within the GC's realm.
And when you look at that property insurance or debt of the insurance requirements, that's something that the general contractor negotiates. Who's going to buy the builder's risk? What's going to be the deductible? Who's going to pay for the deductible in the event of a claim?
What factors go into designing builder's risk coverage?
So when we think about how these programs get designed, there's a few things to think about. And it's important to have the dialogue early in the planning process with project owner, contractor, architect to understand the size and scope of the project. And at that point, typically when a developer is starting to look at building, let's just use a new building, for example, we like to get involved early on because they're going to pro forma out their costs associated with building and ultimately running that project. And so we want to understand what the project budget is, the type of construction, location. There's a lot of variables that go into the process of obtaining the pricing and quotes for the builder's risk coverage. And then, out of that construction budget, how much of that is a hard cost versus a soft cost?
So do you want to go into what hard costs and soft costs are?
Certainly. The hard cost is pretty straightforward. That's the cost of construction. You're building materials, labor that all go into the construction of that building. Soft costs are in the event that there would be a claim, there are certain costs that will continue while we're in what's called the period of restoration. And those costs would be things such as interest expense, taxes, insurance premiums, maybe additional architect's fees that all get rolled into that soft cost. In addition, delay in completion, loss of income is a major factor that needs to be considered when looking at the project. A larger project, we may have a 2-year builder's risk policy, 3-year builder's risk policy. That's what we think the length of that project is going to be. So it's important to work with, whether it be the contractor, owner, both, architect, whoever it may be, to understand what the potential loss of income and additional costs would be if that building, if we're 50% completed, now we've got a loss and we're starting back at square one, what's the financial impact that could have on that client at the end of the day?
And I think gathering information gets us to the point where we can answer a lot of those questions. Certainly, the cost report will identify, as Dan had mentioned, what are the hard costs? What are the soft costs? The pro forma and the construction timeline will give you an indication as to, as you look at the pro forma going out when the building becomes operational, you can typically find out what your loss of income, right, loss of rent exposure would be, because you want to play defense against that claim that's happening right before they issue the occupancy permit.
And one of the pieces of information that becomes very helpful in the construction process, it's called a Gantt chart. And that shows complete timeline and takedown of that project. That's very helpful for us as the insurance broker to understand the length of the project, the scope of the project, and certainly going back to that construction budget and seeing all the different costs that make up the completed value.
And when we start talking about highly technical projects, you're going to have underwriters want to see architectural drawings, geotech reports, and they want to look at, as Dan had mentioned, the value of the project, the construction, what is the security, right? And then they want to underwrite the general contractor. Is the contractor done these types of projects? What is the experience? Is the contractor going to, how are they going to secure the project? Is it going to be watchmen, fence, lock, lit? Water intrusion detection systems are a really big issue today.
It makes a lot of sense. And there's a lot of damage that can happen in any of those situations for sure. So Dan, are there any differences for term differences for whether short or long-term projects with a builder's policy?
Sure. Yeah. I think to our prior comments around looking at, you know, the Gantt chart and the length of the project. Now, for smaller scale projects, you may not necessarily need a full builder's risk policy. For example, let's also draw the distinction between a renovation builder's risk and your ground up new construction. We're in Western Pennsylvania. Go to the Strip District today, where we have all these old warehouses that are being converted into office, retail, residential. So that would be considered a renovation builder's risk. So we have an existing structure that needs to be insured. And then we have all of these improvements that are occurring to that structure. So we need to make sure, one, that we get the coverage for the structure accurate, the existing structure. And that can be somewhat complex because we've got buildings that have, you know, 2 feet concrete floors. They're bomb shelters, right? What would it cost if that building suffered a loss to get that building to an existing condition? So we've got that to contemplate. You know, from a length standpoint, certainly those projects are going to be longer. Now, again, back to these older buildings, we may have just, maybe it's a small upgrade, a retrofit to one of those old buildings. We may be able to get by with what's called an installation floater and not have to go through a true full-on builder's risk policy. And that installation floater is going to cover the materials and improvements that are occurring for that smaller project. A little more efficient. Often you can endorse that into a property or inland marine policy to cover that. So that would be something to contemplate as well on a smaller project. But certainly the builder's risk is going to offer broader coverage for in transit, property offsite, income loss, things like that.
To Dan's point, we talked about reconstruction projects, additions. Pay special attention to the way that your policy handles existing structures. Oftentimes that's excluded.
So Dan, do you see new trends coming through builder's risk?
Well, you know, certainly like we touched on earlier, you know, in the marketplace at large, we do expect the market to continue to be tight here through 2021. Hopefully there's some light at the end of the tunnel where that will soften a bit. I do expect there to be continued stress around the frame construction, though. Even once we get out of the pandemic, I think that will continue in the marketplace. Coverage-wise, I would say, you know, certainly pay attention to all the details of that construction budget. Really focus on the delay and completion aspect of the project and how that would impact the ultimate project owner. And then there's another coverage out there called Leg 3, which is relative to, you know, defects in the construction. You know, if we had a covered cause of loss and it's found to be that there are some defects that need improved upon, the Leg 3 could potentially respond to that. That's something that's really important as we look outward as well as making sure that the Leg 3 endorsements are there.
Clem, can you just touch on how COVID has affected builders' risk?
Yeah, sure. That's been a discussion that we've had with a lot of different underwriters, where if we use middle of March as time when I think a lot of people agree everybody went home and projects became suspended, those discussions with underwriters were going to be, how do we reflect this in the term? It's certainly going to extend the term of a policy because it's extending the term of the project and the price, right, which is tied to the term. And the feedback we got from all the underwriters we talked to is, if you had site work done and just sitting there, that became an easier discussion because you didn't have a lot of insurable values. But if you got 50, 75% into a $15 million project that was just sitting there, and I don't want to say unprotected, that most projects did not go completely unprotected, the underwriters have a good point to say, that's still all my exposure. I still have a $10 or $12 million partially completed building sitting out there that's not being attended to every day. So it's been, all the discussions have been on just individual bases, and underwriters have been reasonable. I think in a lot of areas in with insurance and what we've seen with insurers, have been treating insurance as the result of COVID.
Gentlemen, thank you for joining us today. Builder's risk coverage was explained by Dan Coast and Clem Mondrisco, property and casualty experts at Henderson Brothers, with a combined experience of 42 years in our commercial lines department. Our experts are available to answer questions, make recommendations, and tailor products to your operations intricacies. Dan may be reached directly at 412-754-3279 or by email in the link in the podcast description. I am Lance Petro, Risk Control Specialist. Our podcast, Ask an Expert, is produced by Henderson Brothers in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Since 1893, generations have turned to Henderson Brothers for insurance and expertise to shield them from risk and to protect their fortunes in both good times and bad. Today, Henderson Brothers provides advice, analytics, and expertise to hundreds of top businesses. Are you looking for a proactive customer experience? Visit hb1893.com to learn more.